beautiful job, truly. I hope those who are celebrating Mother's Day have a great day. Dad said a couple times to you, those who have been here without their mamas now, hope you understand the message of that song, right? The heartache you feel today, Christ will hold me fast. Beautiful song. Beautiful. Well done. I wish my mom's mom could be here to hear you young lady sing. She'd have ate that up. I'll tell you what she'd have ate. You girls wouldn't have stood a chance. She'd have ate you alive. She loved beautiful singing. That surely was. I appreciate it. I want you to take a Bible, go to Matthew chapter number 5 this morning. Matthew chapter number 5. I'm going to preach this morning on a passage of scripture that's just meant a lot to me in recent days. And I hope it'll be a challenge to you. I hope it'll be a help to you. I do want to say happy Mother's Day to my mama. I'm glad I get to be here. I'm grateful you guys let Pastor James go and take his wife down to be with his mama on Mother's Day. That's important. Oftentimes in the ministry, we get to miss stuff like this too much. And when Dad asked me to come and be with Mama on Mother's Day and speak, I had forgotten for a while to ask my pastor, and I went to him and I said, Pastor, Dad wants me to come on Mother's Day down there. And he stopped. He said, you know, Josh, I just thought about that this week. He said, the Lord told me that you need to go see your mama. He said, go on. He said, take Jenny and the girls. And I said, well, they got to sing with the kids and everything. And he said, I don't care. He said, take them. He said, take them with you. And then I got to talking to Jenny, and she said, I really want to go with you. She said, but I feel like the kids have practiced so hard for this music, I need to stay here. And so they stayed to be faithful to their ministry, and I'm grateful for that. I am. And I'm grateful you let Pastor James be gone. My brother was supposed to be here with me today. I'm sure he's tuning in, hard-headed mongrel. He has a truck. I won't tell you which brand, but it runs like a rock, and it doesn't run the way it's supposed to. And his transmission's gone out in this almost brand new truck of his. And so he said, well, I don't want to take Jordan's minivan and she'd be stranded all day. And I said, no, he went to the dealership on Saturday and he said, I'm going to try to trade it in before it officially goes. And the dealership is like a rock dealership and said, hey, we know this truck has problems. We're not taking it. So now he's in a big problem trying to get rid of this thing, dealing with the Chevy company. Oops, he's like, I messed up. Getting rid of all that company. You pray for him, all right? He's having a hard time, and he's getting ready to go to the police academy in July. I got to get a reliable vehicle, so you be praying for him. And I know he'd appreciate it, but he wanted to be here with us today and be here with Mama, and we're grateful for you. Let us be here. I want you to look in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 41. I'm just going to read one verse to start, and then we'll pray and we'll get into this. It's a very familiar passage of scripture because of the Beatitudes, the Jesus Sermon on the Mount. But there's a verse here that has just really kind of struck me in a big way. And with Mother's Day coming up, I thought this would be very applicable for mothers as well. Look at Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 41. It says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Let's read that again. It says, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I think there's a principle that Christians often lose in our relationship with the Lord, and that's this idea of the second mile. And this morning, with God's help, I want to preach a simple message entitled, The Second Mile Mama. The Second Mile Mama. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the day. We thank you for an opportunity to be in your house. And Father, I was like David when I was glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord today. Father, I thank you that we can live in a nation that still allows us to come to and worship for free. Father, I thank you for the goodness and graciousness that you bestow upon us. Father, I thank you, as I say often, for my salvation. I thank you for my mother. I thank you for all the mamas that are represented. I thank you for the mamas that have been in our family that have pointed people to Christ. Father, I see how you move and how you've done mighty work, and I just want to say thank you. Father, I think oftentimes we get lost on Mother's Day and we forget just to stop and say thank you for our mamas. And Father, I pray that you help each and every one of us to be better this week. May we be second-mile Christians, second-mile daddies, second-mile mamas. Father, may we take this simple principle, your principle, Lord, from your word, and apply it to our lives. Father, I pray that you help us now. Do as only you can. Help me preach as a dying man to dying people. In Jesus' name, amen. I got to think this week about this idea of the second mile. And if you understand when Jesus is speaking here, the children of Israel were under Roman bondage at the time. They were under Roman rule. And there was a law in Rome that if a Roman man was carrying a burden, no matter how heavy, how light, if he was carrying any object, and he saw a Jewish man or boy, he could look at that Jew, that man or boy, and say, "Carry my burden for a mile." And that Jew, by law, was obligated to drop whatever he was doing and carry that burden. Now, the Roman mile wasn't the same as our mile. It's a little shorter. It's about 1,000 paces or a little over 1,100 yards. So it was smaller than ours, but it was still an inconvenience to the Jewish people. So if you can imagine Jesus standing on this mountain and he's telling them, "Hey, if someone asks you to go a mile, I actually want you to go two." So think about what that would sound like to a Jewish man. "Lord, you're asking me to do something I already don't want to do, but you want me to do it twice as much." And I started thinking about that idea of the second mile and what it meant to be a second mile Christian or a second mile mama. And I want you to understand a couple things this morning before we jump into this message. I want you to understand that the first mile is all about duty. I'm bound to do this thing because the law says I have to. The second mile is all about desire. And I understand there's a place for duty. We do things because we have to do them. It is my obligation. I have to complete this thing. But what if instead of duty, we did everything because we desired to do it? I want you to look real quickly, if you will. Take your Bible, go to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. We're just going to read three verses here. In Luke chapter number 7, Jesus gives a parable. And it's kind of a forgotten parable. People don't talk about it a lot. But man, it is so packed full of things for Christians. In Luke chapter number 17, Luke chapter number 17 and verse number 7. Luke 17 and verse number 7, it says, "But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat,' and will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink?' Doth he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all the things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do.'" If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to underline that phrase. He says, "We have done that which is our duty to do." Do you understand, mamas? You could spend your whole life raising your kids and just do the things that you are required to do. And at the end of your kids' lives, the Bible says you will be an unprofitable servant to me. Christians, you could serve the Lord your entire life just doing the bare minimum. And God says, "You're an unprofitable servant to me." The things that we praise people now, the things that we laud them for, hey, you read your Bible, you pray, hey, you come to church. 100 years ago, those were the bare minimum things that were expected of the Christian faith. And now we promote those people to Sunday school teachers and deacons and ushers, and we give them places of responsibility in the church. But God says, "Hey, you are an unprofitable servant if you do the bare minimum. I want you to go the second mile. I want you to do a little bit more." And I'm going to be honest with you, as I preach this message this morning, this is not my message, this is God's message. This is straight from the Word of God as Jesus. I'm not claiming to be the author of it. I don't even fully understand it all. And I promise you, I don't live it every single day. But by the conviction of the Holy Ghost, I hope I can help you understand that together we can go the second mile. We could be second mile mama, second mile daddy, second mile Christians. God saved us for a purpose to become the person that God planned for us to become. It's my job to allow God to do what He wants to do to get me to that second mile. A lot of the times, mamas, when we do our duty, we do it for our children. We do this because we have to do this. That we're required by law to do certain things for our children. But when we do it through desire, we do it for God. And I understand there's a place for duty. There's a place where you wake up every single day. You wake up certain mornings, you say, I just don't want to do this today. I don't want to cook food. I don't want to take care of my kids. I don't want to teach them. I don't want to drive them places. I just don't want to, but I have to. And let me tell you something, that's okay. That's okay. Because I promise you, there's days as a preacher of the gospel of Christ that I wake up and I say, I don't want to go to church today. I want to stay in bed. I want to go out on the boat. But duty says I must. But what about the place I get to where I don't have days like that very often? And desire compels me. The psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Desire drove him to this place. The first mile is not only duty, the second mile is desire. But I want you to notice the first mile is habit. The second mile is heart. We do it because we always do it. I get up on Sunday mornings because I always do it. I go to Sunday school because I always do. I teach Sunday school because I always have. What about the heart of the matter? What about that thing that says, hey, I do it because Christ wants me to do it? We do the first mile because we're compelled to do it. We do the second mile because we're constrained to do it. The love of God, Paul says, the love of God constrains me. It grabs a hold of me and won't let me go. It drags me along if it has to. It constrains me to be a good mama. Christ's love forces me to be a good mama. Christ's love forces me to be a good father. If I'm going to be a second mile mama, I got to understand, guess what? The love of Christ has to constrain me. It has to make me do the things that I don't want to do. It has to make me love them when they're not lovable. It has to make me serve them when they're not worthy of my service. I think to myself, the first mile is all about the law. The second mile is all about love. I do this not because I have to. I do this because I want to. One of my daughters is very tender-hearted. She is just an emotional mess. I just could cry at the drop of a hat, could do whatever her little heart tells her to do. And when she tells you thank you, she genuinely feels unworthy of the love that you show her. And I think to myself all the time, I do it because I love you. I do these things because I want you to know that Daddy loves you. And I thought to myself, but that's why God does what He does for me, right? So that I know the Father loves me. Not because He has to, but because He wants to. Jesus is telling the disciples here and all these people on the mountain, hey, listen, I want you to go 2 miles. I want you to go the extra mile for somebody. And I almost wonder the reaction that he sees when he says that. And Jesus very shortly is going to show them what that second mile looks like. I want you to understand, firstly, if we go back to Matthew chapter number 5, I want you to see Christ's mind in the matter. Number one, I want you to see Christ's mind in the second mile, Christian, in the second mile, mama. Look with me, Will, then. In verse number 27, it says, ye have heard that it was said of them at old that thou shalt not commit adultery. And all God's people said, amen. We ought to believe you're faithful in marriage. You promised till death do us part. There's no room in the Word of God for activities outside the marriage bed. None. And every Christian says, hey, we got it. Guess what? That's first mile stuff. We say, yep, we sign up on that, Pastor Josh. We agree. No adultery when I get married. That's signed, sealed, delivered, done. Let me show you Christ's mind on it. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. In verse 27, 28 says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Christ said, hey, It's not about adultery. That's first mile. Second mile, living said, hey, it's about lust. Hey, watch where your eyes go, people. Hey, mamas, you want to be a second mile mama? Watch where your eyes go, especially in front of your children. I was around some mamas recently, and I heard them talking about other men in front of their children. These are married women, and I thought, listen to what you're teaching your children. Listen to what they just heard their mama say. And I said, it's first mile to say, I never commit adultery. It's second mile Christianity that says, hey, I'll be very careful what I see. God has a funny way of taking the fruit of a matter, right? Adultery, that's the fruit. To get right down to the root of the problem. And saying, hey, it all started when your eyes got away from you. Look at the connection between the eyes and the heart. God says, hey, you looked on a woman. You lusted after a woman. And then you really broke the first mile law and had adultery. He says, God said, my standard is so much higher than the world's. Hey, mamas, you can't hold yourself to the same standard that the world holds themselves. Because God doesn't hold you there. I promise. I want you to notice next. Look in verse number 31. It says, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. I want you to understand this morning. I'm not here to preach on divorce. There are good men and women who have gone through very bad times and had divorce. And they still love the Lord and they serve the Lord to their absolute best of their ability. And we're grateful for every single one of them. The cause of divorce in a Christian's life is not the end of their Christian life. But we as a church sometimes treat it like it is, like it's the leprosy plague. They say, well, you're divorced. You're a terrible person. Wait a minute. They went through a really bad time. And maybe made a really bad choice. But God says, I still love them. But you know what? We look at divorce. The first mile says, hey, if you have a problem, irreconcilable differences, as the world puts it, hey, it's legal to get a divorce. Just file the paperwork and be done, dissolve the marriage, and call it quits. The second mile says, wait a minute, this is a spiritual contract between me and God. And I promised God that I was going to love this woman my entire life. Do you know why divorce for a Christian is not an option? Because this contract that we made on July the 29th of 2006 was not between Jennifer and I. The pastor told us this day, he says, you are swearing before God, each other, in the presence of these witnesses. So that contract that I made with God, I said, God, I will not leave her no matter what. So for me to go back on my word for God, what did God tell me? Josh, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What if God said, hey, Josh, I changed my mind. Now I'm going to leave you and forsake you. And I say, well, God, that's not fair. But if I can lie in front of all these people, then why should God treat me any different? I gave my word to God. I promised. The first mile says, hey, it's legal. Second mile says, but it's a spiritual matter. This is spiritual. It's between me and God, and between me, her, and God. Look at verse number 34. Or verse number 33, excuse me. And again, ye have heard that it had been said of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform it unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. The first mile says, hey, I swear that I'm telling you the truth. I swear. The second mile says, hey, I'm not swearing because I'm a person of integrity. If I told you yes, it's yes. If I told you no, it's no. I can tell you in law enforcement, the one common indicator that someone's lying. The more you swear and the more you promise, the more you're lying to me. I deal with people on the street and they say, I swear on my mama's grave. I stop. Don't do it. I swear on my children. I say, really? Is that the promise you want to make right now before God? That you're telling me the truth or your kids die tonight? Well, no. That's not what I meant. God says, hey, we don't have to swear. I don't have to say, hey, I promise. My person of integrity, that second mile Christian says, I'm a person of integrity. If I told you I would do it, I'll do it. If I told you I wouldn't, I won't. I miss the days of old where people could get deals done with a handshake and say, hey, this is what we agree upon. We're done. What happened to the integrity of a man's word? Mamas, you want to be a second mile mama? When you tell your kid you're going to do something, fulfill that thing that you told them. But here, I want to give you this, because Satan will beat you up quick. There is forgiveness and forgetting. But you have to ask for it. You mean I have to ask my kids to forgive me? Absolutely you do. I am the king of forgiveness. I mess up more than all y'all put together. And that was just this morning before you got out of bed. And I'll tell my kids in a heartbeat, hey, listen, daddy was wrong. Hey, honey, I was wrong. I had to tell my soccer players the other day, hey, coach was wrong. Coach made a wrong call. That was my fault. You guys forgive me. You should have seen the look on 15 girls' faces, teenage girls, and they look like, what? Yeah, I could be wrong too. Hey, I'm sorry. We don't swear. We live by integrity. Hey, mamas, you want to be a second mile mama? Have some integrity about you. My word is my bond. This is what I said. I will see this thing through. I want you to look down at verse 38. For you have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yeah, that's what we like, vengeance, right? I'm going to make them pay for how they made me feel today. My kids are going to suffer a consequence because of how I felt today. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and they take thy cloak, let him or thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whatsoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that ask thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thee away. The first mile of the Christian faith says, hey, it's fair. It's fair to do these things. If he asks me to carry it a mile, it's fair for me to carry it a mile because the law says I have to do it. That's fair. The second mile Christian says I do it because I've been forgiven to do it. I've been forgiven to go that extra mile. You know what? I hear all the time dealing with kids about fairness. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. And I tell people the same thing every time. I am glad the world is not fair. Set aside the spiritual aspect of it, right? I'm glad it's not fair from that aspect, because if it was fair, then I would be burning in a literal place called hell because I'm a hell-deserving sinner. But Christ said, it's not fair, so I'll send my son to the cross to make it fair. But the world says, it's not fair, it's not fair. I say, I don't care if it's fair. I just want to be forgiven. Hey, anything in this world that's not fair is usually okay. When we try to make things fair is when we start doing things wrong. Not everything can be fair. Not everything can be equal. But when we cause an inequality, we say, hey, listen, I need to be forgiven, so I'm forgiving you. You didn't treat me fair. You're right. Forgive me. He didn't do right by me. Forgive them. Don't go out with vengeance and say, hey, I'm going to make this right because you did me wrong. The second mile mama says, hey, I'm going to forgive you regardless. You know one thing I learned as a parent? I didn't apologize enough to my parents growing up. My kids do things that hurt me. Very rarely do they come to me and say, hey, mama, hey, daddy, I'm sorry. You forgive me for that. But you know what? I forgive them if they never ask me. You know what the problem with some mama and daddies are? They haven't ever truly forgiven their kids for the things they've done. You know what the problems of marriages are? We're not second mile Christians because we won't forgive our spouse. We hold that thing. I saw a video yesterday where this guy bought his wife an excavator for Mother's Day.
And she was mad as fire. She said, why would you buy me an excavator? He said, well, you keep digging stuff up from my past. I thought this would make it easier on you. And I was dying laughing. I thought, that's some dumb junk that I would do. But you know what? I started thinking about it. That's the problem with Christian faith. Is that the spouse does something wrong and we say, oh, don't worry, honey, we forgive you. Then we hold it. And we hold it until we can't take it no more. And we blow up. We say, wait, I thought you forgave me. I thought I did too. We are forgiven. Second mile Christians said, even if you never asked me for it, I forgive you. Restoration and healing can take place today with these simple words of, I forgive you. That's second mile Christianity. That's second mile moms right there. Look at verse number 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now notice verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. First mile says, hey, love your neighbors. Now that's easy, right? My friends, I can love them. Jonathan's my friend. I love him. That's easy. But what about that person who deliberately makes themselves not my friend? Who lies about me, who does something to cause damage to my character and my testimony. Second mile Christians say, I'm going to love them too. You say, Pastor Josh, that is not humanly possible. You're right. The first mile is human. The second mile is divine. I've got to have God's help to do it. Hey, you want to be a second mile mama? You start today by saying, hey, God, I need you. In order to do this, God, I need you to make me a second mile mama so that I can raise second mile Christians. I look around at my kids and I often think, what kind of spouses am I raising? I want my kids to be second mile spouses when they grow up, second mile parents, so they don't have to make the same mistakes I do. So they don't have to make the same arguments and the same fights that I had. Maybe I could just show them the way. We see Christ's mind in the matter. I want you to notice, secondly, Christ's measurement. Look at verse number 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans also? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, is perfect. Number two, I want you to notice God's measurement. Here it is. You ready? It's perfection. And some people in different parts of the Bible, when you see the word perfect, it means mature. This doesn't mean mature. This literally means without flaw, blemish, or wrong, perfect. You say, Pastor Josh, are you perfect? Absolutely not. That guy who cut me off on the way here, I was not perfect in the car this morning. I promise. But listen, I can be that way through Christ. I could strive every day of my life to be perfect, to be a second mile Christian. Mamas, let me just give you a little bit of grace. Ready? You're going to mess up. Even today, you're going to mess up. But the forgiveness that you seek in Christ, the forgiveness you give yourself, and the forgiveness you give others proves that you're a second mile mama. Some of you say, well, my kids are all grown. Hey, guess what? It's not too late to start being a second mile mama. And I would almost venture a guess to say this is some of the finest mamas that live in Hampton Roads right here in this room. But I promise you, we could be better. Because God's word said the standard is perfect. And none of us are perfect. I look at my mama. That woman wasn't perfect, not even remotely close. If anyone was ever going to be there, it wasn't her. But there was no one who loved harder and more than that woman. And after she got saved, you could see the love that she had that I didn't think could grow anymore, grow to bigger bounds because she loved more people. And I just amazed how God's love does that. Mamas, when you become that second mile mama, your love will grow so much that other children will be attracted to you. And we know second mile Christians. I can name people all over the place. And they're, you know why they stand out so much? Because it's so unusual. We look at it and say, man, that's almost weird. It is. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. It just looks a little different when we're second mile moms and Christians. I want you to see Christ's measurement, Christ's mind, Christ's measurement. And I want you to notice, lastly, Christ's model. How does Christ show us this? Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 39, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says he went a little further. And that phrase just kind of punched me in the heart this week. That he went just a little further. And I wonder when he did, wonder when he left his disciples, and the Bible says he went a little further, if it resonated in the minds of disciples. If someone compels you to go a mile, go with them twain. He went just a little bit further. Christ said, I'll show you what a second mile Christian looks like. We go a little bit further than everybody else. We do just a little bit more. You want to be a second mile mama? You just got to go a little bit further. But the great news is Christ already went there. You're not plowing new territory. You're not making new roads. You don't have to fight your way through it all. Christ already did it. You just have to yoke up with him and go. I think about Jesus showing in his day-to-day life the fact that he was a second mile Christian. When he comes up to the leper, do you remember what Jesus did? The Bible says that he reached down and touched the leper. He very well could have spoken and said, leper, be healed. But he didn't. He went the second mile and reached down and touched him. You don't touch lepers. If you touch a leper, you're going to get leprosy. Jesus said, let me show you extra compassion. And he reached down and he touched him. Jesus not only fed thousands once, but he did it twice. Twice. Hey, let me just show you how much I really care for people. I haven't lost my care. I haven't lost my love for people, my compassion for people. I'll do this again. That's a second mile Christian. When he was on the cross, Jesus showed he was a second mile Christian in lots of ways. As they're ridiculing him and mocking him, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a second mile Christian. As he's dying with his dying breath, the thief who was ridiculing him and mocking him, he looks at him and he says, will you remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom? Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that phrase goes by people and doesn't think much about it. But if you think about a crucifixion and the weight that was on the lungs of Jesus and the pain that he was in, he would literally have to push himself up to inhale enough air to tell this thief that was cussing him and mocking him and say, today you will be with me in paradise. That's a second mile Christian. In my worst moment, when I'm hurting the worst, when I'm ready to die, I still forgive you. When your kids hurt you in a way that you didn't even know was humanly possible, forgive them. Because Christ did. Jesus on the cross looks out at all the world and is heartbroken. But do you remember who Jesus specifically called out that day? He called out his mama. He looked at John. He said, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. Don't tell me women have a bad place in the Bible, that the Bible talks bad about women. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took care of his mother in his dying breaths. He said, John, you take care of my mama like she's yours. Hey, children, let me tell you something. What if you treat your mama like she was Jesus' mama? I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, when you start treating Jennifer like she's God's daughter, he said, you'll figure marriage out. Whew. In the book of 1 Peter, Peter writes, and he says, he left us for an example that we should follow in his steps. I guarantee as Peter's penning those words, he's thinking about that second mile. He left me an example that I should follow in his steps to just go a little bit further. Mamas, what mile mark are you at this morning? Are you just doing what you're supposed to? Just that mundane? Hey, you'll still be a great mama in the world's eyes just doing what you're supposed to do. But God says, hey, you'll be an unprofitable servant to me if you just do what you're supposed to do. Hey, Christians, what mile mark are you at this morning? I think to myself, if I could follow in his steps, guess what? I'll have to go that little bit of extra because Christ went all the way for me. No holding back. No reservations, no regrets, and guess what? I'm never turning back. From this day forward, I'm always going to strive to be a second mile Christian. Mamas, what if today, what if you marked May the 14th of 2023? Write it in your Bible and say, today, going forward, by God's help, I'm going to be a second mile mama. We'll change the world. Forget the church, forget your house. Guess what? We'll change the world by raising kids that say, hey, I want Christ to be predominant in my life, to be everything to me. I want my grandchildren to be that way. The psalmist David said, the lines have fallen to me into pleasant places. Yeah, I have a goodly heritage. We don't know who David's mama was, but I guarantee you one thing about her. She was a godly woman. You say, how do you know that? Look at who David married. Look at Solomon and his mama and the relationship she had. Somewhere along the lines in my brain, I'm like, there was a mother-in-law somewhere that said, let me show you how this is done. Let me show you what being a second mama looks like. Let me show you what this looks like. Look at Mary, just this little bit of nothing from the middle of nowhere. And God says, thou art well-favored, Mary. She was just a first-mile Christian. And God said, but because of your faithfulness, I'm going to make you a second mile Christian. I'm going to allow you to give birth to the very Son of God. When God sees us faithful, he'll make us second mile Christians. Christians, mamas, what mile mark are you at this morning? Look in your heart and pray, hey, God, make me a second mile mama. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for the